Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, before we launch into the Cavs, what'd you do for Father's Day?
Very subdued. We end up going out to a restaurant. I think we're done with restaurants for a while. She's now fine. Izzy is.
Yeah.
Finally keeping herself
Mason's
busy.
Mason's the problem.
Now Mason's the problem, so...
He'll be the problem for the rest of your life.
My dish comes out, it's right there, and immediately, he's already done eating because we had to get him fed immediately because he was miserable. So I walked around the restaurant, and then of course, the U.S. Open was in the weather delay, and the Guardians were already done. Like, they were down 5-0 early, and I'm like, all right, well, this is not a good road trip developing here. So we just... That's it. And then, you know what was interesting? Looking around and seeing the Father's Day shirts. Because I guess if somebody buys you a Father's Day shirt, you got to wear the Father's Day shirt. Kenny,
you're not going to wear it any other day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, what, a Mother's Day? Is that going to be your stance?
I like to flex.
That's a hell of a stance right there.
Yeah, I'm going to wear this every Mother's Day just to let them know. Because I see there's... A lot of memes yesterday was about mothers making Father's Day all about them.
Ooh,
and vice versa.
Fun.
So there seems to be this silent war that's
being
waged.
Sounds like a nice, fun thing to fight about. That seems great. I never saw a Father's Day shirt yesterday. I didn't really venture out.
They were all over. A lot of trophy husband.
I hate Father's Day. I hate it.
Did you get anything?
Nope, didn't want it.
Did your kids make anything for you?
I got a bunch of texts from a bunch of people, happy Father's Day, and you know that's like homework.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want anything. They know I don't want anything, and I didn't receive anything. I went and I cleaned up my truck and cleaned the tires and all that other stuff and swept it out and this, that, and the other, because you know I like to keep my things clean.
Did you feel
back
like
any fire hydrants?
No, I did not back into any fire hydrants. Thank you very effing much. It only happened one time, and I was sober. Thank you.
Did you feel like you and the boys had to do manly man things?
Nope. They rode around, actually got some birthday presents. They played with the birthday presents. Then we went over to the neighbors, and that was it. Nobody told me happy Father's Day. Thank God. It's a perfect Father's Day. I don't really have to acknowledge it, and I certainly don't want to take any gifts from it.
The neighbors across the street, they were driving out, and of course, that's one father with his two sons, and the kids were going, happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day. And it's so weird, because these are the days I have liked to forget my whole life, and so now all of a sudden I'm being celebrated. And it takes a while to kick in, like, oh, you're a father now.
Which there was a great video, or there was a great piece on CBS Sunday Morning about Harry Chapin.
I got it recorded.
Did you see it?
No, I got it recorded.
Harry Chapin is great, and then I couldn't believe I felt so stupid, because I'll tell you this, they're like, they got us like three kids, and they're like, yeah, you know, he was on the road a lot, but he did a lot of charity work, and he was like the king of the charity concert, benefit concert, things like that. Like, he was a good man and all that stuff. His brother was interviewed and stuff. And they said, you know, with Cats in the Cradle, which is a video or a song that you guys play to mock me for years and years. Yes, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, Anthony cannot watch this recording that he has until the day that Mason says, I can't really do it today, Dad. I got to get out with the boys.
Well, the whole point of it was they said at the end, like everybody thinks it's the other way around. It's not. Like he doesn't want his son to become just like him, and he doesn't. Because he calls his son, and his son's like, so-and-so, and the kid's got the flu, but it's been sure nice talking to you. He's involved with his own children.
Okay.
And so he doesn't have time for the dad that didn't have time for him, man. Harry Chapin, brother. Great songs, man. My favorite's WOLD, for obvious reasons. 216-474-0092. Yeah, my Father's Day, I had it the same as I would my birthday coming up here soon, where we don't really discuss it or recognize it or celebrate it or anything like that.
Well, Father's Day is it just doesn't compare to Mother's Day. Mother's Day, there's an expectation there.
Yeah.
Father's Day, I think most dads are not really expecting to have like some perfect day, are they?
I feel if I expect my sons, this is going to be, take this how I want you to take it. I expect there to be hoops to be jumped through by the children on Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no hoops jumped through. And I kind of feel like if I expect my kids to jump through a hoop for Father's Day, this is going to be controversial for some of you out there. If I expect my sons to jump through hoops for Father's Day, I feel like I'm being a little selfish, personally.
Okay.
That's all. That's all. Are we moving on from Father's Day now? Off we go. Brett Siegel, who is from Clutch Points, NBA insider, he was on Afternoon Drive on Friday, says he doesn't see big changes for your Cavaliers.
Why would you screw things up right now? You were the one seed. You had a historic season. And now, with the path being wide open, with some of those teams taking a step back, you're probably going to be the one seed in the East again. You still have things to work on, but you have a full offseason to work on that with Kenny Atkinson, with this group, and correct the mistakes that you made. You have a full offseason to get healthy because a lot of those guys were banged up in the playoffs. I think that it makes the most sense just to stand pat and fill the gaps around this team, fill out your bench, potentially bring back a guy like Ty Jerome, and obviously get a little bit more depth in that front court. See if you can sign a guy to a minimum contract just in case Allen or Mobley get hurt and you can have some depth there. But I really don't believe that we're going to see any major changes from this roster.
I mean, he's willing to go as far to say you're the number one seed in the East again, coming up at the end of next regular season for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, you bring it up because the Memphis Grizzlies have traded Desmond Bane for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, and 4 unprotected picks. They traded him to the Magic. 4 unprotected first-round picks, 1 first-round pick swap. I mean, that is a huge haul for Desmond Bane, who I'm going to let you take it away. You say he's better than a certain somebody out there.
Well, I would say I'm the wrong guy to ask, but I guess because I'm on the radio here in Cleveland, I have to be the right guy to ask. I really like Desmond Bane. I've really liked him for a long time. He is an awesome, awesome shooter. He's been really, really consistent. He's like every year 40% from 3, and he is... Like, you look at him, he looks like an NFL player. Like, he is one of the most ripped guys in the league, and he makes up for his small wingspan, doesn't have the longest arms, but he makes up for it by, you know, being one of the more physical wing defenders in the league, sets these huge screens. He's just a guy, like, in the playoffs, come playoff time, you know, he hasn't shot it well the last few years in the playoffs. He's like a physical, try-hard defender. I've always been in love with Desmond Bane, and I know a lot of people have been talking about, like, does this set the market for a potential Darius Garland deal? And, you know, most lists have Darius ahead of Desmond Bane. Like, if you look at top 100, Ringer, most lists have him. He's never been an all-star. He's never made, like, an all-defensive team. But Desmond Bane is, like, the perfect blueprint for a guy you'd love to have come postseason because... He can play both ways. He can do a bunch of things. So I really like Desmond Bane. And if there was any kind of a deal that, if you could get anything like this for Darius, I know the Cavs aren't really looking for draft picks, but just in terms of where he's rated, like you have to wonder what Darius could get you in a trade.
Well, the way I see it here, when we're talking about draft picks, You look at Memphis. I don't know what Memphis is trying to actually do. I don't know if they're trying to reset their entire organization or if they're just trying to reset around Ja Morant. I don't know if Ja Morant's a guy that anybody trusts to reset a franchise around because I think he just gets in his own way and does dumb things. But I think that they're in a different spot than we are. They look like they are on the precipice of rebuilding. We are ready to go. So the whole, like, yeah, that's a haul. I mean, that is a lot of players and picks and everything like that just to get for a guy. So there must be credit, because obviously I haven't watched a ton of Desmond Bain as much as I would of Darius Garland. So there's obviously a great deal of respect that the NBA has for this guy to be able to give up that much for a player like that. But for the Cavs, if we're talking about picks, all right, yeah, you need picks again. You do need picks. I mean, your first-round picks are depleted until like 2031 or something like that. Seriously, like that's the year I think we're talking about there. But when it comes to like Darius, I still haven't – I think I see what a asking price could be possibly for a guy like him, but I think that we're in different spots. Like, I'm in a position where I want to strike where the iron's hot. I think it's easy for other teams to give up picks, to give up ideas, with the exception of bringing in players like that you can work with now. How do I bring in players that I'm going to trust to work with now by giving up Darius Garland or even Jared Allen,
but
for
here,
that matter?
Here, to me, is the bigger question and bigger takeaway. You know, the minute the season ended, there was a lot of discussion, like the clip we just played. Well, the Cavs don't have to do anything. The East is going to be wide open next year. Boston's going to take a step back or maybe be out of the picture completely because of the Tatum injury and moves that they could potentially make, losing, you know, Porzingis, losing Jaylen Brown if they want to, losing Drew Holiday. Like, they're going to be a completely different team. So the Cavs don't have to do anything. But I said, you know, the chessboard, it might not look the same when there is this frenzy in the lead up to the draft and free agency. Well, here we go. Case in point. Like, already I see people making the point Orlando has just taken a huge step forward, and now they could be the team that the Cavs could be looking at. We already knew that we play these wars with Orlando, and already Orlando has made a big swing. And I know they didn't get like this, you know, MVP candidate or even a guy that's been in an all-star game. But it kind of resembles the type of trade the Indiana Pacers made, you know, a year ago. When they got Pascal Siakam, no one had the Pacers ahead of the Cavs. Now the Pacers are ahead of the Cavs, at least come playoff time. So Orlando, I wonder, has Orlando become a better basketball team come playoff time than the Cavs?
So the Cavs are kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place here. You know, I don't know how many people have watched the finals here over these last couple of nights. I think that people are this last couple of weeks, I should say. I think some people have, I don't think that anybody's flip-flopped. I think that we've gotten more engraved in what our takes are about this Cavs team and what we want to do with them. And then a move like last night happens where Desmond Bane goes to the Magic in... a huge trade. Four first-round picks that are unprotected, a first-round pick swap. You're giving up two players, for crying out loud. I mean, there's a lot there. And you just mentioned, by the way, are they a better, or is Orlando, Desmond Bane going from the Grizzlies to Orlando, Orlando passing us now as a playoff team?
Did they pass us? Because obviously the one thing they have been missing is shooting, right? They couldn't score because they didn't have that shooting. And now Bane comes in as one of the elite sharpshooters in the league on high volume. He's incredible. Like, that guy has unlimited range. Last year showed some ball handling chops, running the pick and roll, does a lot of the little things really, really well, and a big try-hard defensively who you just can't move that guy.
Because I think Orlando is a team that, again, if they were healthy, I think they would have been a more serious franchise this last year. Not franchise, but a more serious team to take into consideration for the postseason this year. They had those injuries that killed their second half of their season this last year, and then obviously you'll play it into the playoffs as well. So I put Orlando in a different mix. Them adding Desmond Bane, a guy that not a lot of people here talk about, it's hard for me to say that they're better. Not that I can't fully disagree with you, because I wouldn't know as much in how they help out the Orlando Magic, how he helps them out. But I look at the Cavs and I think, you know, the moves that are possibly there to make. Like, I read the articles about Isaac Okoro over the weekend, Dean Wade over the weekend, and about how that they could possibly try to move on from them. You know, I think fans have been trying to move on from Isaac Okoro for the last couple of years. What can you find that's going to be better that you could move Isaac Okoro from that's going to be better? Dean Wade the same way, where Dean Wade, he's a good shooter, but he's made of glass. Like, I think that that's more of what you're talking about in realism tone of where they can improve on. I mean, it's very, 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 very hard to find equal value for Darius Garland, and it's very hard to move on from the guy because of the reasons that I give you all the time about what Darius Garland brings to this franchise. It's very difficult.
Well, and, you know, we're focused on Darius, but obviously Jared Allen is the one that a lot of people think the Cavs are going to trade if they're going to make any kind of decisive move here to kind of change up the core. I just don't know. I don't know what the return is, especially considering that they, man, if Evan Mobley misses any games whatsoever for injuries, he's been actually pretty durable through the early part, first four seasons in the NBA. If he had to miss any extended period of time and then you didn't have Jared Allen, like all of a sudden, what is your basketball team? How do you even make it through a period like that, an extended time?
Yeah. I think for the postseason, you know, again, what do I do? And I don't mean to have two different conversations here. And I don't keep to be harping on the same thing that I always do. I don't know yet. Do you think that it's a requirement to break up one of the guys from the quote unquote core four?
No, I wouldn't use requirement, because the one thing that I think the Cavs are banking on that I do have some hope for is that Evan Mobley takes another huge step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, kind of become a different team. Now, over time, if that also does happen, like you start to think about all the pieces around him and what that needs to look like. Because right now he's like a low usage on a contender for, you know, somebody of his value. Like, he just doesn't touch the ball very often. So if he starts needing the ball a lot more, what does that mean for Darius, who's on a max deal? What does that mean for Donovan Mitchell, who's going to be, you know, approaching 30 and losing maybe a little athleticism every year? Like, now you have to start to think about what the roster is around.
Though, if you're those
sure,
players,
sure. But you do start to think about what this team, you know, looks like with that as the case.
Because I don't want to be stuck to be stuck. But I've kind of got in my head, and I think this is what probably frustrates you. You haven't said it to me just yet, and I think this is what probably frustrates a lot of people. Is that if I can't make a move with Darius or Jarrett, what move am I going to be willing to make? Like, of all the moves that are brought up there, like, I don't want to move on from any of them. Is there something there that's going to hit me over the head that shows me that this is going to be a better team without those guys and with somebody else? So far, no. And what, game five of the NBA Finals is tonight. Like, I think in earnest, even though there was a trade last night, I think in earnest some of these moves are going to have to be made. Maybe after the finals is when these teams are able to budge. Or maybe there's moves to be made now, and we got to get going now.
Everyone always fights back anytime I dangle Garland in a trade, and they say, too risky. And then
that's me.
My counterpoint is, okay, there is a cost of doing nothing. And it happened last year. You got passed up by the Pacers because they went and made a Siakam move. And I didn't see them as being better than us, so I'm not going to sit here. It'd be revisionist history if I told you that, oh my, I'm worried about the Siakam trade. I wasn't saying that at the time. But that's how the chessboard changes and the look of it. Okay, did Orlando just pass us? Are we going to be sitting here next year, and let's say we lost to Orlando in the second round of the playoff. Let's say we have a better record than them, but we get, you know, we lose to them again in the series because we don't match up well against them or something like that. Now, you know, you can start to definitively say it was riskier keeping the same team, keeping the core alive. And that was the bigger mistake.
That's interesting, because I think of it this way. You say, what's the cost of doing nothing? I think that's a great thing to say. What was the cost of doing nothing this last year? What, to me, what's the cost of doing something? Because the cost of doing something, how it can backfire on us, is monumental to the cost of doing nothing.
If you went out and made a trade.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Paid for somebody, and as it turns out, because it's kind of what Orlando did last year, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they went and got him, and, you know, he's on this contract. He was terrible.
Yeah.
He was dreadful. Right. There was a cost there. They had a bunch of injuries, and they were unable to get out of the first round.
So my issue would be, if you go out and you make one of those moves, like, you're going to have to sell that, because it's probably going to be for a name that I don't know as well or trust as much as what Darius Garland is, or even Jared Allen, for that matter. I'm more open to moving on from Jared than I am with Darius Garland.
Both of them are fan favorites.
I'm going to be upset, and you're going to have to sell me on that. I might have to let you talk down to me, because you're going to have to sell me some of these names that I think have become bigger, not household names, but have become bigger talking points. Guys like we've mentioned who are in the NBA finals right now, those ancillary pieces that help out. There's going to be guys from teams that aren't finals teams, and if they make a move and it's Darius Garland's gone, for guys that I would say that 90% of the audience, 80% of the audience at best, don't know what they bring to the table, that's going to be a very unpopular move with me. And I think that's going to be a very unpopular move with the fan base. And so I'm not going to scream at you, but you're going to have to sell me on that. I think that some people still have to be sold on Shedeur Sanders. Here is Chad Ochocinco Johnson on the Nightcap podcast talking about the players telling him that he looks different from the other ones they've seen.
I got a couple of young bulls out there. You know, I talked to Denzel Ward. I done talked to some people. He looked different. There's a difference when that young bull is out there spinning that ball. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Difference. I'm talking about football. I ain't talking about no media and all that hoopla and all them, you know, on Twitter, they putting up the numbers. Some he with 10 for 12 for 2 touchdowns. I'm talking about when he's at the helm, he looks different. Whether he's going with the first team, second team, or third team, it don't matter. I understand getting drafted in the 5th round, all that means nothing when it's time to play football and that whistle blows. He looks different than the rest of the competition. That's what I heard. And I'm talking not Brother Ward. I'm just talking about from sources that's in that room, that's on that field, that's playing the sport.
He sounds like he just told everybody what Denzel Ward told me. He's like, well, I'm not talking about Denzel Ward, by the way, but right, other people are saying that sort of thing. All right, that's the first thing. Second thing is, anytime we get to talking about Shedeur Sanders, there's a group of people that roll their eyes. I want to know why they don't like him. Because I'm willing to say that they don't like, the people who don't like Shedeur Sanders, I'll listen, I'll hear you guys out. I think you're more mad at the Browns than you are Shedeur Sanders. And I kind of want people to be willing to admit that. Does that make sense to you? Do I have to explain that better?
Yeah, explain it.
I think that the years of going back to, I think it really started with a lot of fans with Johnny. The years of the exciting named quarterback who doesn't translate into the NFL, the Browns being at the center of all that. I think that that's where it on the on a contingent of the fan base that tends to call into our show, that tends to call in to Afternoon Drive and on the station in general. I think it's worn on them. But I don't think that there's anything about Shedeur Sanders. I look over these last 6 months of the offseason, how his name's been drugged through the mud, drugged bad out, what he's done over the last 4 years in college. I don't see anything about Shedeur Sanders that insults me personally as a football fan or insults me personally as somebody who watches the game. I don't think there's anything about him that bothers me. With other guys, it's like, okay, this guy's a bit of a knucklehead. This guy's goofy to the media. You could say a bunch of things. I don't think it's that way about Shedeur Sanders. I think that more people, if they say that they're anti-Shedeur Sanders or they roll their eyes every time we talk about him, I think it's partially because I think they're tired of the Browns or they're angry with the Browns over this last decade plus. Because we've got a lot of calls here over these last few weeks of, man, why does everybody keep bringing up Shedeur? Why do they keep bringing him up? I go, well, one, I think that there is a hope there that he might be on to being the next big thing and we can stop this carousel looking for quarterbacks. And of the two rookies, you would say his ceiling is higher. And the other part of it is that I think he's a fascinating creature where you go from where people thought he was going to be in the draft, either night one, first round, or early night two, depending on how things were going, to day three and the Giants saying all these nasty things about him. I think it's a fascinating story, and I think that that's shooting fish in a barrel when it comes to the media.
I'm going in with an open mind, and I don't know how, if you're a Browns fan, you're not doing the same. Even if you didn't think Shedeur was going to be good, even if you were talking about how he was exposed big time in some of the bigger games, you think that he's just a media creation. It's all about Deion and the buzz surrounding him. Even if you think all those things are correct, like, are you not giving it a chance? Like, what's the alternative?
I think there's people who don't want to even give it a chance.
Why?
I think that
someone would have to explain that to me. Seems totally counterproductive.
My explanation for the calls that we've got, the tweets that we've got, the emails that we've had, is they don't trust the Browns. They don't think that they can handle this. They think that they are already spiking their season before it starts because there's going to be an expectation and implication there. And I don't think that they trust him wholeheartedly. Whether the Browns get their evaluation wrong or they are forced to play Shedeur Sanders when Shedeur Sanders isn't ready. Like, we played that audio last week of, well, what happened? Like, John Middlecoff yelling about him being put into the game before he's too ready. Put into games before he's ready to actually play in games, which is something that I don't want to do and I don't think anybody should want to do. And then it becomes the argument, well, he's going to play at some point. Why don't you just put him in there? Like, the why don't you just put him in when it comes to a name, I think is what bothers some of the fans to the point where I think that they get mad anytime you talk about Shedeur Sanders instead of trying to be open-minded to it. I still think it's more towards the Browns instead it is against Shedeur Sanders.
Look, I understand being you're talking to me. I mean, cynicism. I understand being cynical, skeptical on every move the Browns ever make, but you know, they threw a bunch of darts here at the dartboard, and if any of them pan out, I mean, heck, I don't talk much about Dylan Gabriel, but I thought he was overdrafted. I don't like the stuff that I've heard from the scouts about him. But if it were him, okay, I don't love the thought of a short quarterback like that, but does that automatically mean he can't be good? Like, I wouldn't go there either.
No.
Like, I'm trying to be optimistic in this one time period because they're coming off a 3-win season and we all think that this is gearing up for a number one overall pick or two top five picks or whatever next year, whatever you can see, you know, all the different moves that they made. I'm hopeful. I am hopeful. Like, I don't expect a third round Dylan Gabriel or a fifth round Shedeur to work out, but I would be tickled to be pleasantly surprised when all is said and done.
When it came to some of the guys before, and really one guy in particular talking about Johnny Manziel, I don't think that Johnny earned the spot that he had. Mm-hmm. And I remember even then, because I was upset with the loss against Indianapolis and stuff, I said some things that I regret because he shouldn't have been out there. And I wanted him out there just because I wanted something to be excited about, and I was mad at how they lost that game. It was a stupid thing to say at the time. And I think that that resonates with me anytime somebody goes, you really can't like this Shedeur Sanders guy, do you? And I go, how could I not? I think that he's doing what's necessary to try to be out there in the field. He's trying to do what's necessary to earn the respect of his teammates and to earn whatever job he gets, whether that be the first backup quarterback or the third team quarterback. And I don't think that this is realistic, but week one starter, whatever he can earn, I think he's trying to do what he can to earn it. That's what I think the difference is. I couldn't guarantee that with Johnny Manziel so many years ago.
So much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
He's a piece of crap. The kid, he sucks. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. How he couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, a team proved themselves cheap yesterday, and no, I'm not talking about the Cleveland Guardians' lack of offense. I'm talking about the Boston Red Sox dropping one from their offense yesterday and trading Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for four players, not even 2 years into a 10-year over $250 million deal left for Devers on his contract, which the Giants will pay in full. This is a blockbuster trade that sent waves around baseball yesterday. Very interesting move for the Red Sox, who have now proven themselves goose egg for three among these long-term potential deals for all-stars.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It is, I think that for a Red Sox fan, I was listening to a little bit of Pat Boyle before the show. I think he's right about a Red Sox fan. I think that a team that has spent money before, once you've been proven to spend money and then you aren't spending money anymore, I think that that's going to really bother a lot of people. But, you know, Devers has had his own issues with not wanting to play certain positions, not wanting to do certain things. So I think that that plays into it a little bit as well about getting yourself out of there. But he gets shipped off to San Francisco. This is going to be fun to see tomorrow night where the Guardians play at San Francisco tomorrow night. It is a weird situation for the sport where you look at a team like Boston. If they are stripping salary, then I think that we need to look at where the sport is going to be here in the next 5 to 10 years.
Give me Mookie Betts. And now, you know, in this case, we're talking about a $300+ million player in the second year of a deal. It's crazy. It's crazy because, you know, for the last 20 years, we would just mention every time we talked about the Yankees and the Red Sox and their advantages. And when they're shedding salary now, I know they at least, you know, signed them to begin with. But when they're shedding salaries, you sit there and wonder, well, what kind of pond are we even waiting in right now?
And between this and the Matt Chapman deal, San Francisco now getting its mix in the big market bully game as well. Speaking, going from baseball to golf, yesterday, the United States Open, obviously the big story, J.J. Spahn's final putt winning him his first major title. Some also some sound yesterday, the other day, from Rory McIlroy, by the way, that was very interesting to me. He had not spoken to the press after six of his last major rounds. He finally spoke on Saturday and was kind of asked if not speaking to the press was among his recent major frustrations.
No, not really. It's more a frustration with you guys. But yeah. I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I've been totally available for the last few years. And I'm not saying maybe not you guys, but maybe more just the whole thing. The whole
driver thing.
Yeah, part of, yeah. I mean, that was a part of it. That was a part of it. But it's not as if, like, at Augusta, I skipped you guys on Thursday. So, it's not as if it's not out of the ordinary. I've done it before. I'm just doing it a little more often.
Is it part of the you kind of carried the tour of your awards for like 3 or 4 years now? You feel like you're going to break?
I feel like I've earned the right to do whatever I want to do. Yeah,
bit of a cantankerous mood. Ooh, McIlroy was in.
He's earned the right to do whatever he wants.
That's interesting because golf is not one of the team sports. Not like there's a city and. When we think about these players, like we ask all the time, what do you think your responsibility is to do any media whatsoever? Because the media has always been a conduit to the fans. But at the same time, now players have their own ways to go directly to the fans with their podcasting. So, and their social media. In this case, golfers. Like, he didn't take the live money. He's made a fortune, obviously, with golf and his endorsements over the years and on the tours.
I don't cover the day-to-day minutiae of the PGA or take it all in. So, like, when I hear Rory McIlroy being upset with the media, I go, yeah, but the media loves you. What do you mean that you're upset with the media? Well, if he's talking about everyday people who cover the game and travel with the PGA to their tours, well, then maybe he has a point, because the only thing I really drop in on are the majors or some of the higher non-major tournaments where everybody loves Rory and is hoping Rory wins.
Wells Fargo.
Yeah, so... of course, how could you not? The Honda Open? I mean, Lord. How could you not like Rory? So, but maybe he has an everyday thing where he's just tired of answering the same old questions and the same old things about why he didn't take the live money or whatever it is, and he was upset about it. So I if I had more background, maybe I could say that he was being a baby about everything, but I'm not going to accuse him of being a baby.
Hold on. It does sound like
comes off a bit baby.
Because you're a grown man. You should be able to answer tough questions. And by the way, are you even getting tough questions? I've watched these press conferences. They're a bore. Golfer press conference. I mean, some people would say every press conference is a bore. You know, with the exception of maybe a few that are really good in front of the mic. Okay, that's fine. Golfing press conferences? Like, that's what I always like Phil Mickelson.
Jimmy Roberts says the golf.
Golf. I love Phil Mickelson because that guy is never boring to me.
Who calls it?
He's always interesting.
Thank you. Who calls it the United States Open? I've never heard one person in the history of people call it the United States Open.
Do you think there should be a rebranding? Do you think it should be?
I'm
the
so
United
confused
States
on tournament names nowadays.
Like, it's not it was that the hard. US Open.
No. It was the British Open when I was a kid. Now it's the Open Championship. The French Open in tennis has become Roland Garros. And I can't keep up with
mad.
It anymore.
Over three tournaments.
Not actually, you guys.
There's two tournaments that you.
It does sound like you kept up with it, though.
Well, you had two tournaments that maybe have changed it, and then you just threw in a third. You changed it without it even changing. It's the US Open.
I do think it's interchangeable. The US Open and the United States
it
Open.
It is?
I think so.
That's interchangeable?
You know, it's not interchangeable.
Why not the USA Open?
Listen, I'm trying to make the transition out of it. Okay, spin out of it. Go.
The NBA Finals, where it's knotted up at 2-2 after this past weekend's Thunder Game 4 victory.
I call
victory.
It the Larry O'Brien Championship.
Kind of an in... Yeah,
it's called the United States Open Championship. You didn't even get the whole name right. You didn't call it the United States Open Championship at the beginning, did you?
It was called the NBA World Championship for a while there, and then the finals, they switched in the 80s.
I'm talking about golf. I'm not talking about the NBA Finals anymore.
I'm talking about basketball in this current situation because
of
the finals.
I'm still back on you mispronouncing and missaying all the other words.
That is knotted up at 2-2 after the Thunder kind of pulled an Indiana Pacers the other night. They trailed for most of the game, came back right at the end, had maybe had some controversy there among the 71 combined free throws shot between the two teams. Everyone went to Scott Foster, the official, for blame, but not Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle.
This kind of a challenge is going to have extreme highs and extreme lows. And this is a low right now, and we're going to have to bounce back from it.
Came to his defense a little bit in that situation there. I mean, it's just a sticky situation all around. Basically, people are like, okay, Shai's Gilgeous-Alexander is the free throw merchant. This is part of how the Thunder got back in the game, but it got very messy towards the end.
It was really brutal. I mean, a lot of off-the-ball fouls, which is the worst. When you get to the NBA Finals and you're calling, it's one thing guys try to bait foul calls, and I thought they've, up until then, I thought they had done a nice job of not rewarding SGA and some of that stuff. Instead, this was the off-the-ball stuff. Nobody wants to see those fouls called. I know they're trying to set a tone that they're not going to allow that stuff the rest of the series, but guess what? As you get deeper into a series, even less is going to be called. So I don't know that this is going to end up benefiting anybody but Oklahoma City, because they are the team that is physical for the entirety of these games all over the...
JC on Twitter, Twitter Reactions brought to you by Chapman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, says that he, being Rory McIlroy, is mad because some media folks leaked that his driver failed testing after a tournament recently.
That was another thing, too. He switched his driver four times this year.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Failed testing, like he's a NASCAR driver.
Which brought into some sticky...
plates on the drivers.
Mm. Some potential sticky details regarding his Masters victory, but that's not claimed at all.
Ooh, a sticky situation.
That's not verifiable.
What do you call the Masters? Do you call it the Masters, or do you call it something weird?
I was going to say it's always been called the Masters, right?
I don't know, Mitch. Maybe we'll make up a different name for that by the end of the segment. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say maybe we'll make a different potential name for the remainder of this week for this segment, which is about last night.
He always finds a way to spin himself out of it. It's not the most elegant spin, but he always finds a way to spin himself out of it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.